Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew? Matthew chapter 16. We read from verse 13. But when Jesus was come into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he commanded of his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some, John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and others again, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, But ye, who do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answering said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and Hades' gates shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatsoever thou mayest bound in the heavens, and whatsoever ye shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens. Then he enjoined on his disciples that they should say to no man that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go away to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised. And Peter, taking him to him, began to rebuke him, saying, God be favorable to thee, Lord. This shall in no wise be unto thee. But turning round, he said to Peter, Get away behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thy mind is not on the things that are of God, but on the things that are of man. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall desire to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he will render to each according to his doings. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, how we praise and thank thee for gathering us together unto thyself this morning. We thank thee that at the table thou hast once again revealed to us how much thou dost love us. We thank thee for giving thy life to us. Thank thee for thy shed blood, and thank thee for thy broken body. Lord, truly, thou art our life, our Lord, and our all. And we do thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is life and spirit to us. So we ask thee, Lord, that this morning thou will once again breathe upon thy word, and make thy word living and operative in our lives. Through thy word, Lord, that we may come to a deeper understanding of thyself. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. The Lord seems to burden me with this matter of the church. We know that the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, tells us that the church is the mystery of the Christ. It is a mystery, a secret that God has purposed in Christ Jesus even before the foundation of the world. And this mystery or this secret has been kept throughout the ages and the centuries. And it wasn't known until, as the Apostle says, this mystery is now being revealed to the apostles and the prophets. So, brothers and sisters, we know that this matter of the church is a hidden secret in God. It has been hidden for centuries, for ages. And thank God, it is now an open secret. Now, the reason why our Lord Jesus came into this world is for the church. Oftentimes, we think that our Lord came into this world to save sinners. That is very true. But brothers and sisters, we need to remember that this is not the ultimate purpose of his coming to this earth. He came to this earth to seek and to build his church. It is very strange that in the records of the four Gospels, you find the word church is only mentioned two times in the book of Matthew. Now, if the church is a reason for his coming, why is it that while he was on earth, he very seldom mentioned even that term? Because even when he was on earth, and even though he came for that very reason, and yet it was before the time of revelation. It was in his heart. It was the very reason why he came. And yet he was not able to reveal it, waiting for the fullness of time. Not until he was rejected by the Jews. Not until the cross was looming before him. It was only at that period that he leaked out, as it were, that which is uppermost in his heart. So even though the word church, our Lord Jesus mentioned only twice in his lifetime, and yet it was the secret of his heart. Now this morning, we would like to consider together the first mentioning of the word church by our Lord Jesus. The occasion was, he was rejected by his own nation. You know, the Pharisees, the priests, the scribes, they came to the Lord and asked him to show them a sign. A sign that he was the Christ, the Messiah. Now, their very question revealed their unbelief in him. So our Lord Jesus said to this generation, there is no sign but the sign of Jonah. And because his own nation rejected him, he retreated to the border of Caesarea Philippi. We know Caesarea Philippi was a Gentile city. In other words, you find our Lord Jesus was driven almost out of his nation. But at the border of Caesarea Philippi, he asked a most important question of his disciples. He asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Now, of course, his disciples, out of love for him, will not tell him all the bad things that the world talk about him. They will only report to him the good comments. They say, well, some said, you are John the Baptist, risen again. And you remember Herod, the king, said it. His conscience was bothered because he killed John the Baptist unrighteously. So when he heard about the Lord Jesus, his conscience told him that it is John the Baptist returned to life. And other people said, well, you are Elijah. Or say you are Jeremiah because you are a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And some other could not identify and say you are one of the prophets sent by God. Now to ordinary people, these were comments that probably more than what you deserve to have. And yet to our Lord Jesus, these comments did not satisfy him. So he turned to his disciples again and said, now what do you my disciples, you who have followed me all these times, now what do you say that I, the Son of Man, is? And thank God, Simon Peter, as the spokesman of the disciples, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ, the anointed one, the one sent by God, the one on a holy mission. You are the Christ. That's your office. That's your work. And you are the Son of God. That is your person. You are God's only begotten Son who came into this world to accomplish that marvelous work of redemption. What a confession. And immediately our Lord Jesus said, you are blessed, Simon Barjona. Because this is something that the blood and flesh could never reveal it to you. It is my Father who is in the heavens who has revealed it to you. Brothers and sisters, how true it is. No one knows the Son but the Father. And it pleases the Father to reveal His Son in us. And because of that confession, our Lord Jesus began to reveal something more. It is the Father who reveals the Son. None but the Father. And because of this revelation, or based upon this revelation, the Son is able to reveal something more. So you remember our Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you. It is the Father who revealed to you. You are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And Hades' gates shall not prevail against it." The Father reveals the Son. And the Son reveals the church. The purpose of His coming. He said, "You are Peter." Peter means a stone. And I, on this rock, I will build my church. The Lord is playing with words. You know, Petros, means a stone. A piece of the rock. A detached stone. But the Lord said, on this rock, the word rock is Petra. It means a massive rock. Now some people said, Peter is the rock. And on Peter, the Lord will build His church. But we know for sure that this is not true. Even Peter himself knew that this isn't true. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we have read this morning, Peter himself recognized that he was one of the living stones that is being built into a spiritual house. Now, of course, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, "To whom coming a living stone." And that living stone refers to Christ. He is the living stone, rejected by man, but chosen and precious to the Father. And then he continues and said, "And yourselves," and that is we, as we come to our Lord, the living stone. We all become living stones. And we are being built up together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now the word living stone or stone there in 1 Peter chapter 2, both in verse 4 that refers to Christ and in verse 5 refers to believers are the same word. It is a different word. It is lithos. It simply means a stone. Now why is it in 1 Peter chapter 2 a different word is used. And the same word is applied, not only to Christ, but also to believers. Why? Because there, the Spirit of God wants to show that we have the same life. He is the living stone. And we are all living stones. we share the same life. Or to put it in another way, He shares His life with us. But in Matthew chapter 16, the emphasis is to see the origin. In other words, our Lord Jesus is the rock. And we are a piece of it. Our origin is from Him. He is the rock, and we are a chip out of that rock. Now, if Peter is the rock, the foundation of the church, then you know, in the very chapter, when our Lord began to reveal that He had to go to the cross and to die, you know what Peter did? He laid hold of Christ, shook Him up, and said, Lord, it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't come to you like this. And you remember our Lord turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. In other words, if Peter be the rock on which the church is built, then before the church is built, the foundation is already shaken. So it cannot be Peter. The rock is Christ Himself. The rock is the confession of Peter, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I am a master builder. And I lay the foundation. And no one can lay any other foundation but Christ Himself. So we know for sure that the rock refers to Christ. He is the foundation of the church. And the church is built upon Christ Himself. And because of this, our foundation is sure, secure, and safe. On this rock, I will build my church. With what materials will He build His church? Thou art Peter. I will build my church upon this rock. In other words, upon Himself, He will build those who have His life. Those who believe in Him. Those who have confessed Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those like Peter. Stones. Living stones. Precious stones. And God will build us together as His church, His spiritual house, His dwelling place, His holy habitation. Building us together upon Himself. So, brothers and sisters, why are we saved? Why does the Lord save you and save me? Does He save us to be a living stone? And that living stone is to stand by itself as a monument? Or does He save us as living stones scattering around the world? Certainly not. The reason why He saves us, makes us living stones, is because He wants to build us together into His house. That is the very purpose of His coming to this world. So, brothers and sisters, what is the church? The word church In Greek, it's ecclesia. It means called out ones, gathered together. Out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, God has called a people out unto himself. And he gathered them together, built them together. You know, build. The word, very word, build, is more than just an outward gathering. More than a physical assembly. It means an inward, organic building together. And this is the reason why we are materials for the building of the house of God. Now, who is the builder? The Lord said, I will build my church. In other words, he is the builder. Now, you may say, did not in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I am a master builder. But you know this word, master builder, means a supervisor of a work. In other words, he is a foreman. He is a supervisor. The real builder is God himself. The Lord said, I will build my church. Today, we heard that term, church builders, church planters. They are people who are supposed to be church builders and church planters. They are going around to build a church, going around to plant a church. But brothers and sisters, according to the word of God, only our Lord Jesus is the builder. I will build my church. In Psalm 127, verse 1, unless Jehovah build a house, the builders labor in vain. So unless the Lord builds the church, it is his church, and he is building it. Unless he builds it, the builders, the laborers, the foremen, they build in vain. What can man build? Man can build a Tower of Babel. That's what man can build. And how does man build with the Tower of Babel? With bricks, not with stones. So, brothers and sisters, we realize that throughout the centuries, many try to build the Church of God. And the result is a Tower of Babel, confusion. It is not with the living stones. It is with bricks, the work of man. And whatever is built of man will not stand the assault of Hades. So the Bible says, I will build my church. It is my church. It is not your church. It is my church, the Lord's. Oftentimes we say, this is my church. There is only one church. It belongs to the Lord. And it is the Lord who builds it. And he said, Hades' gates shall not prevail against it. So here you can see, in the first mentioning of the word church, it refers to the church universal. In other words, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus is a stone, a pita, a living stone. And we all are being built upon Christ Himself to be His church. It is spiritual in nature. How do you become a material of that building? A spiritual new birth. You are born. You receive a new life. From dust, you are transformed into a stone, a living stone. It is spiritual. And the very building of it is spiritual. Our Lord is building His church according to His will. And He's building it upon Himself. In other words, the church is the extension of Christ. And because of this, you find the conflict is also spiritual. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In other words, you find Hades' gates will all be open. In other words, it will attack that building. Now, why is it that that building is so important? Why is it that building is something that Satan hates so much? And he's trying his very best. He is opening all his gates, trying to destroy that building. Why is it? Because he knows when that church is being built, that will be the end of him. The church is not only the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church is also God's instrument in his hand to destroy the enemy and all his works. So that's the reason why you'll find the enemy knows it. And he tries his very best to destroy it. But he cannot do it. Because it is the work of our Lord Jesus. If it is man's work, he will destroy it. Man is no match to Satan. But if it is the Lord's work, he is not able to destroy it. He can do his very best, attack it, try to deceive it, and outwardly you find many may tumble, and yet what the Lord has built is unshakable. And it overcomes the enemy. So you'll find it refers to the church universal. All the spiritual principles concerning the church are here presented. What a wonderful building that is. Now, because it is the Lord who is the builder, can you imagine that he will begin it and he's not able to finish it? You remember in Luke chapter 14? The Lord said, now if you want to build a tower, you better count your cost, whether you're able to finish it or not. If you lay the foundation and you cannot finish it, people will laugh at you. You'll become a laughing stock. Now, will the Lord Himself be a laughing stock? Now today, when you look at the church, probably you begin to wonder whether the church will ever be built. What is built of man will certainly be destroyed by Satan, by Hades' gates. But what is built of God prevails. So, brothers and sisters, we have the confidence. We have the faith. Even though you may not see it, but we believe that through the centuries, our Lord is building His church. And eventually, that will be completed. And thank God we know that the day is drawing near. So be assured. Be of faith, believing that He will finish it. And He will present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any of such thought. Thank God for it. But that's not the end. After that revelation of the church, then the Lord began to say to His disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. The scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, they will reject me, persecute me, hand me over to the nations. I will be killed. But on the third day, I'll raise from among the dead. Now the Lord came to die. He was born to die. Because He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But He was not able to share with His disciples concerning His death. Not until that moment. Why? Because that will explain His death. Why He must die. Why He must go to the cross. Why He must shed His blood. Why He must have His body broken. Why? It is because of the building of the church. You remember when the soldier thrust that spear into His side on the cross. John testified, and he said, what I see is true. I saw blood and water coming out from that side. Blood for the remission of our sins. Even though our sins are scarlet, they shall be washed as white as snow. Water, His soul was poured out like water. That is to say, His life is poured out for us. And with this, He builds His church. So not until that time, He was able to share with His disciples about His death. But unfortunately, you find Peter out of his sympathy, natural love for the Lord. He laid hold of the Lord. Maybe shook Him up a little bit and said, no, that shouldn't happen to you. And the Lord turned around, face Him and the disciples, and say, Satan, get behind me. Because you are not mindful of God, you are mindful of man. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you remember when our Lord was first born, the enemy knew to a certain degree. The enemy is not all wise, but he knew more than we do. He knew that this child, the Son of God, came into this world is to destroy him. So you remember how he tried to destroy our Lord Jesus after his birth? He used King Herod, tried to kill this little child. But he was unsuccessful. And then he tried another tactic. If he cannot put Christ to death at his birth, then at least he will try to tempt him from going to the cross. Because he knows if he goes to the cross, he will be finished. So you remember when our Lord was tempted, he tried to say, now, if you are the Son of God, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to be hungry and starve to death. You don't need to go to the cross and you can get the kingdom. All will be yours if you avoid the cross. And our Lord says, Satan, get away. And here you find Satan used the same tactic, but through Peter. Don't go to the cross. You don't need to go to the cross. And you can have the kingdom. But our Lord knew the wiles of the enemy. So he says, Satan, get behind. Because you are not mindful of God. God's will is the cross. Without the cross, there will be no Christ. Without the cross, there will be no church. Today, people preach a crossless Christ. A crossless Christ is no Christ. No salvation. And people think you can build a church without the cross. You cannot. The same principle for the foundation is the principle for the building. To be the foundation of God's house, Christ has to die on the cross. Without the cross, there will be no salvation, no foundation. So, brothers and sisters, we preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. This is our message to the world. But our Lord Jesus began to explain it to disciples. This is not only a principle that governs him, it's a principle that governs the building, the church. Unless we are willing to lose our soul life, the life there is soul life, our natural life, our fleshly life, our own ideas, our own opinions, our own desires, our own feelings, except we are willing to lose our soul life for His sake, for the sake of Christ, for the sake that Christ is able to get through us, that His life may be able to throw out from us and thus be built together. If we do not deny ourselves, take up our cross. It is a cross. Why? Because it cuts across our desire. It cuts across our mind. It cuts across our wish. It cuts across our emotion. So our soul suffers. But unless we are willing to lose our soul life for His sake, we will lose it. But if we are willing to lose it for His sake, we will gain it to eternity. So, brothers and sisters, the same principle applies to the church as to Christ. Why is it the church is not built? Why is it there are living stones lying around? Why is it these living stones cannot fit in with one another and come into an organic oneness? Why? The reason is our soul. We love our soul more than the Lord. We are not willing to give up ourselves. And that's the reason why the church is not built. We cannot fit in one with another. You know, when Solomon built the temple, he built the temple with massive stones. But these stones were all being prepared in the quarry. In other words, all the cutting, all the chiseling, all the smoothing, they were done in darkness. Every stone has a number, according to the pattern that God has shown to David. So every stone had a number, where that stone will be placed, and how is it to be fit in with the other stones. And in order to do that, you just not just quarry it out of the field, but you have to measure it, cut it, chisel it, smooth it, take away all the corners, shape it into the right shape that you can fit in with your left and right, with your up and down. And everything was done in the quarry. So when the building was being built, in 1 Kings chapter 6 verse 7 it said, there was no sound of hammer or axe or any iron tools. Why? Because they have already been prepared. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, this is not true in the building that we see on this earth. Whenever you have a building work going on, you have lots of sounds. Sounds and dusts. But the building of God's house is different. If in the secret we are willing to accept all the cutting, the chiseling, and the smoothing, and the fitting, then, in the open, there will be no sound of iron. But if there is a lacking of preparation, then, when you try to fit them together, my, the sound, the clash, and the sparks. So, dear brothers and sisters, thank God. Our Lord Jesus is showing us the church universal. There is only one church. Only one foundation. Only one building. And this church is built by none other but our Lord Himself. He may use many people as underbuilders, as foremen, as workers, but He is the architect, the builder of his church. And this church belongs to him and to him alone. And he is building it spiritually. By his Spirit, using the cross as a tool of building it. And thank God, even though the enemy will try to destroy it, he will be defeated. And we know that one day, when he comes back, he will receive to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle of any such sort. And praise God. May the day come soon. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee that Thou art building Thy church. And for the love of Thy church, Thou hast given Thyself to her. How we praise and thank Thee that Thou art sanctifying it, purifying it, and glorifying it, that it may be presented to Thee a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any of such sort. We thank Thee for saving us. We thank Thee for putting us together. Lord, we pray that we may be constrained by Thy love, knowing that we are not saved just to be alone, but we are saved to be built together. Lord, may this thought sink deeply into our heart, that our Holy Spirit may take hold of each one of us and allow us, make us willing to receive all the cutting, the chiseling, the smoothing, the cutting of corners, the giving up of ourselves, to allow Thy life to unite us, to build us together, that it may be a wonderful, glorious house fit for Thy own dwelling. Oh, we thank Thee, knowing that Thou art doing the work. We do know that the enemy is trying his very best to destroy it. Lord, how we praise and thank Thee. What is of man can be destroyed and will be destroyed, but what is of Thee, it can never be destroyed, but rather it will be proven unshakable, eternal, glorious. We worship Thee in Thy precious name. Amen.